5-on-5, 5-1. Now, our next guest played for Tyrone when they won the All-Ireland in 03 and 05. In 2012 or thereabouts, he moved to New York City. And 3 weeks ago, he had a life-changing heart attack. And he's on the line now from his home in New York. Mickey Coleman, how are you doing, Mickey?
Doing much better, Ray. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks for joining us today. Was that the first time Tyrone won in All-Ireland back in 03?
It was, yes. That was the first time.
Under Mickey Hart, was it? Under Mickey Hart?
Under Mickey Hart, that's correct, yeah.
Yeah. What are your memories of that? That must have been...
a lot of great memories of 03. A lot of hard work went in. Mickey took over the reins in 03 and we worked really, really hard. We really wanted to win in All-Ireland. We'd came off the success of a couple of under-21 All-Irelands, and then Mickey was the manager then, so he wanted to push on, so thankfully he did.
Hello?
Hello, yeah.
You're there, sorry. He did, yeah, and you won that and then came back in 05 and won it again. Now, we spotted your interview with Damien Lawler on RTE.ie, so this has been a mad few weeks for you. So I suppose let's go back to March before the heart attack. So what age? 41. Married to Aaron, two children, Micheál and Reardon. What was an average day like for you?
Well, I have a construction company. We're based in Manhattan. So typically I would get up at 5:30 a.m. I'd be out the door by 6. Usually be in the office by 6:30. And then just the business as usual, the normal thing about the day, be men on job sites, just looking after, just running the business, basically. Mm. I typically be home before 6 p.m., time I get out of the city in traffic, and then the kids typically would go to bed at 7 o'clock. I would read them a bedtime story. Either before that, depending on how quickly I was able to get home, I would do a workout. I have a gym in the house. Or I would go for typically a 3 mile run. This particular night of the heart attack, I was running a bit late, put the kids to bed, then decided the evenings are a little bit longer now. I decided I would do a 3 mile run that I do usually about 3 days a week. Everything was normal, perfect. Went for the run. Don't remember doing the run. I do remember coming back to the house, coming into the house from the run. That's the only portion of the run that I remember. I remember sitting down because I would typically sit down, catch up on the RTE news and stuff. We have an Irish box here. They were able to catch up on the TV back home. So I would typically sit down. Aaron had made me a sandwich. I ate the sandwich, watching the news, and I got severe chest pains. I then ran upstairs to Aaron to say, listen, I've got these chest pains that I've never experienced before and I think I'm taking a heart attack. So she called 911. We went back down the stairs. The last thing I remember is two police officers walking into the house and me saying, can you help me? And then the next thing I remember is waking up 3 days later.
And how much time elapsed between the phone call and them arriving at the house?
So it was 15 minutes in total. I was able to stay awake or stay conscious. But from when I collapsed to the EMS being on site was a minute. They were just pulling into the drive when I collapsed.
Right, okay.
And so it was very lucky.
Mickey, what was going through your head then? And how did you know it was a heart attack?
Well, I didn't know it was a heart attack. I just figured that I got jaw pain and I got chest pain, that something wasn't right. Okay. I just knew it was an experience that I'd never felt before, you know.
Okay. And what was going through your head?
Survival. I was thumping my chest, hoping that it would go away, like almost like something was stuck in your throat. And I was banging and it gradually just kept getting weaker.
Right. And like your lifestyle, a busy man, but you're 41, you're a young man, you played GAA to county level and All-Ireland winning level. You're running 3 times a week. You're working out in the gym. So you shouldn't be getting a heart attack at 41, I suppose, is what I'm saying.
It was the last thing I expected. Yeah, listen, I would train at least 4 or 5 days a week. I keep myself in good shape. I assumed or thought I was eating a pretty modest diet. But the heart surgeon said to me, he said, like, your lifestyle didn't really have much part to play in it. He says, in actual fact, the fact that you're fit possibly saved your life.
Yeah. And I've talked to people before in the past where sometimes being that fit masks, you know, so when it happens very quickly and out of the blue. So yeah. Had you any hint in the lead up to it, Mickey, that something was coming down the tracks?
I had absolutely nothing.
Nothing.
I was, didn't feel lethargic, didn't feel tired, didn't feel, I probably had a little bit of indigestion or heartburn, but that was something that would come and go every now and again. But right. Nothing of any severity that would lead me to think I need to get checked. In actual fact, Ray, I had a physical 3 weeks prior to this heart attack. I was at my GP, had my bloods taken, everything, had an EKG, everything was clear. So, like, you know, I would get a physical every year, and I had it 3 weeks prior to the heart attack, and everything was clear.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you a story later on, after we get your story, about a man I've spoken to on the radio a few times called Bobbitt. Anyway, so the lads arrived a minute after you collapsed, and you woke up 3 days later.
Yes.
So anything that happened then, Aaron has told you about it, doctors, nurses have told you about it. So what have you pieced together?
So I flatlined in the house, and they were able to get some level back, and then twice in the ambulance to the hospital. Jeez. They then worked on me. When I was getting discharged, the nurse came up to the room, and she cried in the room. She says, I can't believe this is you. She says, when we received you, I was one of the nurses on call, and she says, I worked on you for 6 minutes to get you back. We seen you at a wedding ring, 41-year-old. We assumed this guy's got family, so...
So, worth the effort. I suppose everyone's worth the effort, really.
Let's keep going.
So
I was told that, and then...
Just flatlining, so that means the heart has stopped.
Yeah, it stopped, yeah. 3 times.
My word.
I don't know.
Yeah.
So, when they were able to get my heart going again, they then took me to the cath lab, to do the surgery. There was a blockage in the left artery. There was a bit of plaque that had ruptured, came off, and had caused a clot in the artery, which basically caused a heart attack, which they call a widowmaker.
Yeah.
So they worked on that. Then they came down to Aaron, and they said to Aaron that they were happy with that portion of the operation, but now it was just down to seeing how the brain was. So then they put me on a hydro blanket, I think it's called, where they lower your temperature. So I was on that for a day. And then at some point I was on the ventilator also. And then at some point I started to respond, squeezing hands and certain things. So.
And my understanding of that reducing your temperature is to slow down the metabolism.
I assume so. Yeah, I'm not too sure.
And then they have better results then with the brain afterwards if they can do that. So the one of the arteries that feeds the muscle in the heart was completely blocked. That's the widow. Widowmaker. Yeah.
Yeah, there was a rupture. There's plaque from what I have gathered. There's plaque that forms in the arteries, and a piece of that plaque had broken off.
Mm.
And it closed over the artery. So,
and then they discovered that one of the other arteries had 70% blockage.
Yeah, they discovered that one of the other arteries then was 70% blocked, which was astonishing. So they worked on that then 2 days later. So they put in 3 stents altogether.
Right.
So they reckon I have more blood flow now than ever I had.
and you feel different as a result, because you were operating.
I feel like I was hit by a bus.
Yeah, but in a few months' time, you'll feel the benefits of the stents. So obviously not for lack of exercise. You were happy enough that, and they were happy enough that your diet was fine. So it was a genetic thing then.
Yeah, well, my grandfather passed away. He actually dropped with a heart attack and died at the International Rules game in 1984, Ireland and Australia, in the athletic grounds in Armagh. And he was 67. My grandmother dropped dead of a massive heart attack also. But that's really the only connection. My mom and father are both fine. Brothers and sisters are all good.
All good. Would they get tested now as a result of this, do you think?
I think half the country's getting tested now.
it's great that you're laughing, Mickey. It's great. Before I get to that man, Bobbitt, I just want to ask you about, because there's a physical side of this, but there's also a mental side of it, because you're gone from sort of, you know, master of the universe, not you, but you're, you know, you're a confident 41-year-old. How many people do you employ?
We employ about 80, approximately 80 plus.
And business is going well?
Business is going great, yeah, thank God. I was having the perfect life. Everything was good. Couldn't complain. Very, very happy. And then just all of a sudden, the legs were swept from under me, you know.
And like, it's only 3 weeks, but so you're still dealing with it. But how are you feeling mentally?
Yeah, well, that's, I know that I'll, I just had an appointment just an hour ago with the cardiologist, and, you know, things are improving. Physically, I know I'll bounce back. Mm. I went for a walk yesterday, almost done a mile yesterday, but I know physically won't be an issue. But on the mental side of it, it's something that's very hard to explain. You know, about 80% of the day I'm good, and then there's the 20% where you would feel yourself tearing up what could have been, two young kids, 6'2", wife, house, all the rest. You know, you start to think, and you can't help it. It's just something, you keep getting drawn back to it. What if this had happened? What if it happens again? You know, you get little palpitations, the heart's damaged, it's starting to mend. So all these things are going through your head. Just as, you know, it knocks the confidence out of you. Yeah. I guess you're rebuilding. In terms of having to drive again, you know, being alone in the house with the kids, being alone in the house by yourself, there's just, you know, there's that other side to it that's going to take a bit of time.
It's early days, though.
Yeah, it's early days, yeah.
So this man, Bobbitt, I'll just tell you a quick story about him. He funded a documentary fronted by George Lee for RTE, and then he funded a documentary called The Widowmaker. I think it's available on Netflix, which is voiced by Gillian Anderson of The X-Files. Anyway, he was early 50s, healthy man, run, gym, all that sort of thing. Busy lifestyle, but healthy, not carrying any weight. And then he went for a test in America because he had to go for an annual medical. And your man said to him, your plaque is through the roof. You have the arteries of a 90-year-old man. And he'd never heard about plaque or calcification or anything like that. And then he did research on it, and that's why he funded the two documentaries. He reckons that every man over 40 and every woman over 50 should get this calcification test. For example, Mickey, if you had had that calcification test, you know, in February or at the beginning of March, they would have spotted that you had...
Absolutely.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah. So, like, the EKG and that doesn't get it.
No.
Like, this dye test, the echo or whatever it is the only thing that will actually spot that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I would urge anyone over 40, especially males, fitter, you know, it really doesn't seem, it doesn't discriminate against athletes or anything like that. So just, you know, I would urge people to definitely go and get that test.
See, it costs money. That's the problem. It's not.
That's the problem.
It's not free of charge. I think it costs between 200 and 300 quid to get it done. Mm-hmm. I've had it done and I found that I was ahead of the curve. So as a result, I'm on statins and aspirin and, you know, preventative medicine.
Good.
Yeah. So you'll be on all that now for life. You'll be on.
Yeah, I'm on it. I'm taking like 5-6 tablets a day there. It's all new. I never was on any medication ever. So, you know, it's a new chapter, shall I say.
Yeah. Now, you got a huge outpouring of support from this side of the Atlantic.
Unbelievable. Absolutely. Like the amount of mass cards, flowers that came to the house was just astonishing. The amount of support from the GAA, from all my music friends, just absolutely overwhelmed at the amount of support. It's just absolutely unbelievable.
Yeah. You met your wife, Erin, through music, did you?
I did. I met my wife. I was in America about a year. I was asked to go and play on an Irish traditional music cruise out of Miami by Joni Madden from Cherish the Ladies. And I was getting on the ship and didn't know anyone really, apart from the normal Murray Black, Sharon Shannon. And My wife walked past me with a fiddle on her back with a sticker of Kerry and a Tyrone sticker, and I says, that's a rare combination. So we got chatting, and then that night we done a gig together on the ship, and then the rest is history.
you made sweet music, as they say. So what was the Kerry and the Tyrone? What was the Kerry and the Tyrone thing?
Her mother's family's all Kerry. Her father's from Pomeroy in Tyrone.
Right.
So it ended up her father was only 20 minutes up the road from where I was from. So
that was an immediate connection, and then the music.
Yeah, there was a lot of similarities then, you know. It turned out we knew a lot of the same people then.
Right, okay. And how was Erin? Because, you know, a big shock for her.
Erin has been absolutely fantastic. You know, she's, I don't know where she pulled the strength out of, but she's absolutely unbelievable. Obviously, when it happened, there was a lot going through her head with my family back in Ireland and, you know, getting the information across. And just, she's been absolutely fantastic. Mm. Brilliant.
And what have the doctor said to you about stress? Because, you know, up at 5:30 into the city, you know, responsible for 80 to 100 people, that's stressful enough.
They meant it, but I never felt really that
Did
much
you not? No.
Stressed, Ray, to be honest. I guess my outlet was always to train, you know, but there never really was a time that I felt overwhelmed or stressed by the work. I was always up for the challenge.
Yeah.
I loved it. I loved getting out in the morning. I loved going to the job sites. I loved, you know, just, and I've really good people that work for me, you know, that really take care of a lot of things as well. So I don't believe that I was overly stressed unless subconsciously I was, but I didn't feel that I was, you know.
Yeah. I suppose you just dealt a bad hand, really, when it came to when they were handing out the jeans.
I doubt so.
Yeah, but because you were, you know, when did you retire from inter-county football?
Inter-county football, I retired just after 05.
Okay.
But I played with my club right up to 2012, but just before I came to America.
Right. And you were feeling so fit recently that you were thinking of going back playing for a local club in New York.
Absolutely. Like, I live up in Rockland, and we've a great GA facility here, and I was going to go back and maybe chance 20 minutes on the edge of the square or something like that. But I'd done a lot of CrossFit recently. I'd been doing a lot of CrossFit with high intensity workouts. So it was like the fitness levels were as good as they had been in the last 5 years.
I'm interested to know, because I read somewhere that you checked your watch when you came in. Have you got a Fitbit or a Garmin or something like that?
So, I have an Apple Watch.
And does that give your heart rate? Does that give your heart rate?
It does. Everything was fine. I actually done the run 15 seconds quicker than I had the two nights previous.
Right,
So... It's all very mind-boggling, you know. Yeah.
No, because I read an article recently where people are presenting to cardiologists because of things they're reading on their Fitbits and their, you know, their Garmin watches. They're thinking that they've a heart problem. Now, Mary has been on. Mickey, she says, my father died of heart disease at 43 when I was 12. Our family then descended into chaos. I'm so glad you're still here to raise your children, says Mary. And I can relate to this story. I'm 52, healthy, had a stroke out of the blue 1 year ago. Physically, I'm okay. It's mental is where the problem is. Very hard to relax. You sound like you're a laid back type of person, Mickey. You don't, you know, you don't let things get on top of you.
I like a bit of crack. I don't take things too seriously. Yeah. Well, up until now anyway. But, you know, yeah, I never really, yeah, I just take it as it comes, you know.
Somebody else says, I had similar as Mickey with my heart, 99% and 87% blockages in my heart, had heart attack and on 12 tablets a day, now 8 years on and flying it, all back to normal, takes effort, but you can recover. And Annie says, this man is one lucky man. My partner had a cardiac arrest, which is different to a heart attack, while out running and died as a result. No symptoms. He had three blocked arteries like this man, but was fit and healthy, or so we thought. This test should be free for all. Surely prevention is cheaper than a hospital stay. Well, if you watch that documentary, that's what they say, that prevention is cheaper. And as a result, a lot of people don't buy into it because once you're on preventative medication, that's it. Cause see a doctor, don't need to see you again, sort of thing. Anyway, that's another day's discussion. Great to hear you. And I have a bit of the old banjo playing here. Will I give?
I think it's that.
It's an instrument I love, the banjo.
It's a great instrument. Just that I couldn't play it a bit better.
Like Finbar Fury, the things he can do with a banjo. You know,
Finbar's a whole different level, Finbar.
Yeah, but that's your, you know. And that's an outlet as well, is it, at the weekends, is it? Do you still play?
During the whole COVID, I was doing a few Facebook Lives just for the crack, you know. Yeah, but we play a lot. There's always music in the house. We're always surrounded by a lot of music. So, yeah, that's a big part of everything we do.
So Micheál and Reardon will be learning an instrument, will they?
They are indeed. Micheál's already at the piano, yeah.
Right.
He loves a bit of Shannos dancing too.
Does he? Right. Self-taught, is it?
Yeah. Freestyle. Self-taught, yeah.
Listen, Mickey, great to hear you in such good spirits. Mind yourself.
Thank you very much.
I'm sure we'll talk again in the future. Thanks, Mickey.
All right. Good luck.
See you. Bye. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.